We're good to go. Mr. Hamilton.
So I'll go through these as quickly as possible. If you have any questions, let me know. The first is that we are right at the very end of this boundary annexation that we've gone through. We have a notice that needs to be signed by the chair tonight. It's here. I apologize. We're waiting on the county surveyor to get us the final approved county survey of the property so that we can transmit this to the Lieutenant Governor's office. But that is the last step here to finish up this annexation, and so we just needed to get that done. It has to be done by and to the Lieutenant Governor's office by December 20th.
Would you please...
Strong work, Blake.
Would you please go ahead, Bob, say it again?
Well, congratulations. That was a heavy lift. I'm glad to see that gotten done.
So I've just been tracking the deadlines, and this is...
Oh, no.
Oh.
I feel like a real idiot. Troy?
Sorry, we have...
Sorry.
Don couldn't get out. It's
trapped in the building.
Okay, with that being said, I just in closed session. Blake, since you're waiting for the county surveyor, I'd like you to call his boss, Sean Wilkinson. You can reach him on his mobile phone number.
I'm going to take this with me, Carrie.
You're good.
Okay.
It's 801-391-9463. If you could impress upon him the urgency by which this needs to be done and any problems you've got, that'll be appreciated.
Okay.
With that being done then, today is the 18th.
And since the deadline is the 20th, that's why I'm bringing it to you today. I want to get this finalized.
Thank you, Gary.
So we have a couple other quick matters. One is that we're trying to work on a deal. I'm going to be sending a letter to the county. Just wanted to make you aware, trustees, and I'll be sending a letter basically recalling a will serve letter that went out. This is for some property with respect to Powder Ridge and FTTB. They haven't performed, and we're at this point ready to revoke the will serve letter. And for that to happen, the district's attorney has to send the county a letter. So I'll be sending that letter to the county. Just wanted to make you aware of that.
So you got it.
Didn't have anyone come to you and say, how come this is happening? Our budget, the resolution for the budget, has to be finalized with the state auditor by December 20th. I'm just reminding you because you had your budget meeting last board meeting and want to make sure that you comply with that deadline. I've let Carrie and Roy know that a couple weeks ago, so I think they're ready to finalize that.
Is there any reason we can't do that?
It's already done.
Oh, wonderful.
We just need to dot the I's, cross the T's.
Yeah, it was passed and it's uploaded and it's on the website.
There we go.
I love that report.
Again, I'd already reviewed that agreement, but I will follow through and work with Summit's attorney to finalize that agreement. I mean, we've already gone through it and reviewed it. I've also reviewed the agreement that Utah Local Governmental Trust asked that the district execute, and I have signed that and given that to Carrie today.
He just signed it.
So Commissioner Harvey signed that, and we'll have that one taken care of. I think that brings us to our two big ones. Okay, so here's the two big ones. So this is an issue that we've been talking about for a long time. It's the issue with Mark James. Here's where we're at. I don't know if it was included in the board packet or not. We got a letter that Mr. James sent back to the state auditor saying, state archivist, sorry. I was still thinking about our budget. State archivist informing him that he has no records. He was taking that position. I got on a conference call with the state archivist and the two assistant Utah attorney generals, and we talked through the issue. They are ready to file a complaint. This is after you gave me the go-ahead to tell them to go ahead and file the complaint. What they've asked for us is, because this has to be a verified complaint, we have to put forward evidence of why we believe he has our records. So I've asked Carrie to put together any information she had, and I think she's brought that for me tonight. any information she has that indicates why we believe that Mr. James has our records. I would like to do an affidavit of Carrie to support the state. Again, we're not going to be filing the action. It'll be the state of Utah that files the action against Mr. James, and they're ready to do it. They just want our support and need our support to be able to move forward. So that's what the support they need is for us to do this affidavit of Carrie. They only need one affidavit, but if Trustee Moyal would be comfortable, I would like to do an affidavit for you as well. The affidavit for you would just, Carrie's forwarded to me some emails where you contacted Mr. James. Mr. James charged you a fee to get certain information, district information from him, and it would just really be that simple right to that point. And the reason why this would be helpful is that the state's position is that Mr. James has these and he's using them as kind of a cash cow and charging people to look at the state's records. So if you're okay and comfortable with that, I would put together a simple declaration for you to sign as well.
Should I be, you needed any kind of legal counsel, would it be separate legal counsel, or would I be represented by the district?
You'd be represented by the district. This is the district is putting forward their evidence of why we believe he has records and information that is the district's property. It's really the state's property, but the district records. And so that you would fall under the purview of your in your capacity of working for the district now as a trustee or being an official of the district as a trustee.
The documents, and I'm asking you as an attorney actually at this point, the documents that I gave Carrie, would they be evidence I got those in order to try to save $172,000 in hookup fees when I was interested in the hole?
Sure.
Could we go with that?
So you're now an official of the district. You've presented that information to the district. That's clearly evidence that the district has, that Mr. James has the district's records. And that's why I'm asking this.
I have no problem doing it. I just want to make sure that it's not something that was given to you for the purpose of proving this, but it was something that Carrie happened to have because I was trying to save myself 15 hookup fees.
And it doesn't really matter how it got to the district's attention.
Okay.
The declaration of you would be just really straightforward that on such and such a date you contacted Mr. James to get information from him that was understood to be the district records, indicating certain information that he indicated that he would charge you a fee to get that information, that you paid that fee and received the information.
No problem.
Okay.
Can you give me the Cliff Note version of what this is about? Was he a previous attorney or trustee or what?
He was the previous accountant. So he was the previous accountant for the district, and he has taken a bunch of the district's records and held them.
Okay.
So we're now getting them back, but using the state of Utah Attorney General's office in the state.
And the documents he's referring to on are documents that I got in my due diligence when I was trying to do a real estate deal.
Right.
So I just wanted to update you on that, but that's where we are with that. And then the last big issue, is everyone okay with our plan of attack there? I'll get those two declarations done and move forward.
Good. Please.
And then the last big issue that we have is, and you need to be aware of this with respect to Summit and with respect to what Trustee Moyal brought up earlier. So we're having the same kind of issue with the standby fees with Sundown. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I have prepared a letter to send back to him with respect to that. They're taking the position, and I just want to be real clear on what standby fees are. Let me just read this. It's from that advisory opinion from the property ombudsman, so you guys have this as you're trying to make these decisions. But it says, quote, a reasonable standby fee may be charged to properties which have not yet been connected to the water system or sewer system. The fees charged must be imposed fairly on all similarly situated properties. So I know there's been some discussion about different developers, so I think that language gives you latitude to treat different developers differently as long as you're treating all similarly situated properties the same. So that's really the key language. Otherwise, you come into this arbitrary position where you're going to eventually get sued. And should be reasonably related to the costs of providing the services or benefit. And the service that you're providing is, even though you're not providing water or sewer service, because it is available and accessible, it's seen as a service. So if the water system is available and accessible at the time a feasibility letter is done, I mean, that's the position we've been taking, and that's the position I'm just about ready to send a letter back to Sundown about. And so I just want to make sure that we're going to be uniform in the way we're moving forward with respect to this.
I have a question. Yeah. Sundown, I don't believe Sundown is in the same position that Don or Summit and I are in. That I looked at that deal, and the guy told me he was approved by the county for a number of buildings. If I had stepped in and bought that, I didn't even go through the due diligence, so I didn't verify anything. But I would have been able to build those buildings at that time, broken ground, gotten permits. They would have been done. I can't do that, and nor can
Mike's correct in his what that guy represented. Based on what I've learned in this meeting here, I think what he's telling you, what that guy said, is what. That's why I remember something like that Paul had said a while ago. Right. You remember that, Carrie? You were here. Is that correct?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. We've talked to him as well. We actually did the due diligence, and he actually does have platted lots there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He has platted lots. There's a water line that runs
right
through the property, actually. And there's, so are you okay with me moving forward, responding to him saying, no, this is accessible, it is available.
Is this the seller or the potential buyer?
This is the person that owns the property right now who's been assessed the standby fees and is saying, I'm not going to pay these.
Because it's not accessible. It's front and back, around the property. He's got access to everything.
I just want to make sure before I send the letter that you're okay with me doing that in light of the fact that you've asked and there's been a motion passed today to come back in 30 days and talk about our policies with respect to standby fees.
So I have a question. I mean, one of the key words that jumped out at me in what you were reading was property. And Mike has property, but his property is currently one dwelling unit.
It's one parcel.
I only have four. And kind of the same thing with Bobcat and Overlook. It's just one parcel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these are platted lots, individual property numbers that I would say they're completely different circumstances.
And he was putting a $250,000, $300,000 premium on the fact that they were already permitted.
And that's really, if you read this opinion, that's one of the reasons why these are okay, and that's why that you can charge them, is because they create value in the property.
Blake, what I'm hearing is you're conflicted up until we had the motion earlier today with...
I was ready to send this letter. I was going to talk to you about it before I sent it, and then we had the motion earlier saying, come back in 30 days and we're going to really hammer down about when we're going to start charging standby fees and how we're going to assess them, if we're going to assess them differently to different developers. And so before I go ahead and send this letter, I just want to make sure that that's not going to torpedo what we're planning on doing in 30 days.
Trustees, any other comments?
I have one.
Okay.
So the guy that's looking to buy that wants to reduce it to 10.
Then he could come in once he buys it and we can reduce it to 10, but...
Until then, he's
now,
legally bound.
Until then,
the
person that's owned the property has been getting this benefit of
being able to add sell 30.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So along with that, if I may, Mr. Chairman, just a quick question. So the comment in here is that water's recent and the service is readily available. In the situation with Summit and Mike, this is the part that's kind of a little bit confusing, a little gray.
It's not the water, it's the system.
But is the system available for both of you guys? That's what I keep wondering. Are we clear on that? That the water resources and system and all everything you talk about, even though we don't have capacity in the well, even though you're waiting for the new well to get your water.
I can answer that. He can get, if he could get building permits passed, he could break ground tomorrow.
Yeah. And I understand what you're asking, Roy, and that's why I think a logical approach is you can make a clear distinction between a single family lot that butts right up against existing infrastructure and a developer that's going to have to bring infrastructure to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, that's future discussion, but at least that's where my head is.
Yeah, I think that's where it becomes vague and hard to tell when you charge.
One is feasibility letter, you start imposing fees. One is will serve, but in this case, he has will serve. You know, he has mm-hmm. will serve and he has platted lot and he has infrastructure at his doorstep.
I don't think there's any question that the water system is available to him and the sewer system is available to him. And so I really feel comfortable with the letter that I've drafted and ran by Roy and Carrie, but I just wanted to make sure that you were okay with me sending it, and then we could have this discussion in 30 days and talk more about our policies with respect to the standby fees.
Yeah. And I'm okay with sending it, but I want to clarify, I'm not asking, as developer guy here, I'm not asking for refunds in any way, shape, or form, because the feasibility letter got me to a certain point. But from this point to the next point, then it's kind of a unknown.
I'm comfortable with you sending that letter out to him, Blake.
Okay.
Anybody else, any other comments? Is anybody against Blake sending out the letter?
I'm comfortable as well, Blake.
Then I will get that off. And then the last thing, I guess, that we need to talk about while I'm here is I would just like to kind of give a quick update with regard to Eden Heights and kind of my perspective. And I know that Roy's had further discussion, I think, and Mark obviously was there, and so he can, and Bob, you were on the phone. So I thought the meeting went really well. I think they're really clearly still in a fact gathering posture and trying to understand what they actually own and what they have. I know Roy's had follow-up conversations with them where they've asked for certain information. I really am of the opinion, and I kind of pushed this at the end of the meeting, we need to get a new agreement in place, and Roy has followed up on that. And my understanding is that they agree that there needs to be a new agreement put in place. So if you are amenable to this, I would, I think we strike while the iron's hot, and I draft something, and we start kind of going back and forth with them negotiating a new agreement.
I'm really pleased with what you guys have done there, Roy, you and Carrie, and you too, Blake, on that. I think you've done a great job under the circumstances, and I think you've treated the Eden Heights folks with respect, and I love how you do business there. I think that's good. I'm okay with you getting that thing going. If that's the recommendation, would that be your recommendation, Roy?
It is. I actually spoke with their representative, Steve McClary, the last couple of days. We sent him over just very limited stuff, and Blake, actually, his counsel was wise, is don't be giving them a lot of information until we get something in agreement in place, because we're going to start spending time and resources in doing that. We need them to come to the table and something to entice them. So send them some limited information. They're looking for the assessments. The number of lots that we have in our agreement, we'll pay them $9 for every connected lot and $4.25 for every non-connected lot. So we had to do the accounting and bring everything current, be transparent with them. Now, one of the things they did ask is they said, do we want to go back and look how far Carrie?
Yeah, they emailed me yesterday and wanted to know how far back I could go to when when their counts, because she did tell me what she had in her records as far as counts go. So she wants to know how far back that goes, and I'm a little hesitant on telling her, because if we go all the way back to when I started in 2017, you're talking some money. Or we can go back to when I really became district, and it won't cost you as much. Because in all honesty, we did not know until I started calculating, until I started trying to figure out billing, and we didn't know. Yeah, figure out who was even attached to where. We didn't know. So she did email me and said that she talked to Benny, and Benny is Yamagata. He is the president, and he wants to know how far back, when did their numbers change to what I have right now. And in all honesty, I can't tell her, because I can only go back as far as I can go back, but I've got to make a response.
Go ahead.
I should say this year probably is at least we have good information this year.
When it was valid.
Trustees, any comment on that? I don't want to talk way too much. Mike, if you were dealing with me,
I would really appreciate the fact that you did your level best and you were as honest as you could,
mm-hmm.
and then allow them to make the decision. I believe why we're dealing with a company here that could really help us or could really hurt us. Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest and open with them. I'm not interested in playing any games. If we did our level best with them, we should expect their best back.
Right. And we actually cut a check, the one you just signed, actually mm-hmm. cut with the extra added amount. And I've spoken to their, Sherry, their clerk, and we've updated all the information in there. So starting forward, she will invoice me going forward with all that new
information.
That's
great work, and I saw that, appreciate that. But that would be unless trustees you have, you want to play a little chess game here, but mm-hmm. I like the idea of being honest in our business dealings here.
Yep. Be as transparent. And I believe that's the attitude that they have, is let's just try and be as transparent as we can with each other and we'll move along in a good business relationship. Again, he reassured me several times we're not coming in with any preconceived notion, any adversarial feelings at all. We're just trying to find our way and work through this with you guys.
And so, I think if Carrie represented herself the way you just did with us, hey, listen, this is what I know. This is kind of what I know. But this is everything we've got.
And that's what we discussed.
Yeah, and that's great. And you do what you say you're going to do, and we do that. I'm good with that.
Okay.
Can I add something? What if you were to do the honest thing, but massage it a little bit with the numbers, the recent numbers that we got that were actually not, I mean, let's be honest, there's really nobody that lives up there.
No.
Okay,
it's not like we're really using it that much. I mean, I used to use it a lot, but I haven't used it in the last 16, 18 months.
Right. All they're asking for, all they're really asking for is what is the count? Her count versus what I gave her. She goes, oh, there's a lot more to it. Because we came in with what we had, doing the source reduction and all that other stuff is how we got our counts. So in all honesty, it's only $800 more a month. And the only thing they're asking for is when I change from one non-connect to a connect, please tell her. Because it's, $4 and something cents different. I mean, it's not a lot. But their connections, and this is what I don't understand, is this whole time she's been invoicing me, and we've had this discussion, is it's always been a flat rate amount every month, but there's never been any indication on that invoice as to how many connections there were until I personally called her yesterday and said, okay, this is what I have. And she goes, oh, well, that's not what I have. And I'm like, well, why didn't you ever tell me what you had to begin with in the back of my mind? But
you may have to help her through a little bit. You're the expert.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what I told her. She emails me back and says, okay, I just need your graphs or, whatever, your spreadsheets that show where the connections are and how many are connected and not. And then just keep, and I told her, I says, as soon as I change over one, I'll call you and tell you and we can get it billed right. And that's where we landed it, was that right there. So in all honesty, I can go back and tell, when we started doing the source reduction is when, and we actually physically boiled it down to how many we actually had. And I mean, granted that maybe 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
And, so I can either go back the 2 months or whatever, but that's when we started really getting into how many connections we had that were, So she's very nice and she's, just keep me informed and send me the spreadsheet so we can kind of keep an eye on it ourselves and it's not a big deal.
Terrific.
So I provided with a couple of other things. It's our capital facilities plan and a little bit of a report on he wanted that report on the easements that you've seen that the CRS developed for us. And then he was meeting with all the rest of their officials and corporate leaders, I think, this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would get back to us. So at that point, I said, I have a number of other studies and documents. And when we get to the point where we start to work on the agreement, I said, we both agree that we both have breached that in some way, and it's a month to month. He says, absolutely, let's get that thing changed. So I said, let's get back with me and let's start working on some type of an agreement, a development agreement, and let's get that contract fixed. And he said, okay. Yeah. So that's where it's at. And I'm sure we'll go further than that, and it'll be a lot deeper discussion than that, but at least we're moving ahead.
I know. So just kind of action item. My suggestion, if you give the approval, would be that when we send over these studies, that I send over at that point a drafted development agreement, and we start working back and forth with Yamagata to get that in place.
Hey, no, okay, we got this, but this is coming. This kind of thing's coming. We're working on this. If you haven't already, that'd be great.
Okay.
Any other comments? Then, trustees, I'll entertain a motion that we adjourn our public strategy session and reconvene our public meeting. Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion that we adjourn our
public strategy,
session and return to public meeting. So.
Motion and a second. All in favor? I let the record show, too, that when we went to public strategy session, adjourned our public meeting, that it was unanimous. And so I think that's a roll call vote. And I didn't roll call on that. So it was a roll call vote. It was unanimous. So all would have been aye.